personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
So I'm going to do something we haven't done before, Dal, and I'm just going to start with some wrestling news, because I just feel like it.
I was not a sportsman like.
Dal's favorite clip that exists on the internet. But no, the news is not Andre the Giant related.
Oh, okay.
All news should be, but it's not. So, over the last few episodes of SmackDown and Raw, they've been airing these vignettes. Creepy little white rabbit bouncing around. He does weird things. And one, he's playing a game of Hangman. And it ends with, the riddle is, who killed the world? And then, you did, is the answer. And the most recent, he goes Pac-Man style through a maze until he gets to the door in the middle. And then the door is simply filled with fire. And they're just these weird little creepy vignettes, and everyone's speculation is that Bray Wyatt is coming back, a personal favorite of mine, and he was off for a bit. They controversially fired him about a year and a half ago, despite him being their leading merch seller for 2 years in a row. Basically, though, the only real clues that it is Bray Wyatt having been rehired and is now coming back is that, A, when they were playing Hangman, the font used for the words was the font that used to be used for his t-shirts that they'd sell you at the stalls, and that they are spooky. And everyone says, ooh, Bray Wyatt is spooky. These videos are spooky. Surely this must mean Bray Wyatt. And I'll just say this. Based on the hype that has been surrounded on the internet and in live audiences around the fact that it has to be Bray Wyatt, if it's anyone other than Bray Wyatt, that person is going to become the most hated wrestler in the history of human existence.
Well, then they better do what they've been building up to. I don't even know who Bray Wyatt is.
No, he was a personal favorite of mine, but he played for a while he was a spooky cult leader, and then he played the actually somehow better and more scary gimmick of children's show host, like Mr. Rogers-esque, but every vignette that would play of him, you know, talking to his puppets and waving to the kids, with him saying the phrase, let me in, and then staring blankly, kind of creepy, into the camera.
Yeah, that's...
It was very disturbing. And then we found out the reason was he was supposed to be, like, possessed or something by this weird thing called The Fiend, which then also wrestled. It was weird. It's wrestling. It's all weird. But it was weirdly entertaining.
That does sound intriguing. I would watch that.
I want The Fiend back, if for no other reason than the Firefly Funhouse, which is what his children's show vignettes were called, were the most entertaining part of television for 5 minutes at a time every single week without fail. And I miss them. I miss him having a children's show, except all his puppets were a witch, a rat, a fat pig, and what was the other one? Maybe that was it. But anyhow, like weirdly off-putting puppets, but he still just smiled and talked to him like any, like Mr. Rogers would to his creepy puppets that he used to have. It was so well done because they played it off like it was legitimately just him trying to be cute, like a children's show host. But all the props were just vaguely off in a way that just made your skin crawl just a little bit.
And they played the piano with a lot of sharps. Sharp keys.
All right, vulture.
All right, can we move on from this?
We can now.
On Pick'em, I'll be honest, I do my Pick'em, but I never look to see where I stand.
Oh, I think you're about, are you four behind me now?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
I think you were at about 20 when I checked after last night, because you picked the Giants for Monday Night Football, didn't you?
I don't know. I picked them so long ago, I don't know.
It's been an entire human week. Speaking of, how about the fact that Daniel Jones actually looked like he played really good football in that game, and the offense still only mustered 13 points, and Daniel Jones on the final play of the game ended up kind of losing it with one of the worst throws I've ever seen.
Well, and then they lose Sterling Shepard. Looks like he's done for the year. One of the worst free agent signings of the last couple of years has to be Kenny Golladay.
And I don't even know that it's the Giants' fault.
And I loved him before he went to the Giants. In fact, when he took that when he took the Giants' money, he hasn't played for him yet. But when he when he took their money, I thought, why was he going to the Giants? He's a really good. I saw him in college. One of my favorite college experiences was when his team came into Laramie and played Josh Allen and the Cowboys, and it went to like triple or quadruple overtime. And it ended at like 3 in the morning.
His team being Northern Illinois, by the
way. Yeah, and it ended at like 2:30, 3 in the morning. It was surreal. And Josh Allen wins it by diving into the end zone in the third overtime or whatever. And it was just... And so that's... I've known who Kenny Golladay is ever since because he was awesome in that game.
I remember we in Chicago were clamoring that... We were upset that he went to the Giants instead of here. We wanted him in Chicago.
But he looks like he couldn't care less. He hasn't done anything in New York. And last year, I guess I was willing to say, oh, okay, well, it's because you went to New York. You just wanted to cash their big checks and be fourth in the division. That's fine. But this year, they're showing signs of life, and he is not part of it. He's not doing anything.
And he is, however, running his mouth about how regardless of how he practices, he should be playing anyway.
Yeah.
That's a bad quote
anyway,
to put out there.
Why are we starting with them? And why did I pick them? That's so stupid.
Because despite the fact he's now 3-0 as a starter, you can't help but feel like the Cooper Rush thing. like no, that can't be real.
Well,
stop it.
Here's the thing. It's almost like the Cowboys are utilizing the talents of some of their players better than they did when Dak Prescott's the quarterback. It's almost like when Dak's in there, they're saying, okay, go do this, this, and this. But when he's not in there, it's like they have an actual game plan and they're utilizing the talents of Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, who rushed combined for almost 200 yards rushing in that game. Why can't Dallas do that every game? I guarantee if they rushed for that much and had Dak Prescott, people wouldn't be talking about the Cowboys like they suck so much. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know what to think.
Well,
all I know is I don't even care who starts for him this next week. All I know is that Carson Wentz is going to have Micah Parsons' cleat marks on his face.
I was watching that game last night, and all I could think was, if the Bears don't get at least 4 sacks next week against the Giants, they have the worst pass rush on the planet.
And all
the Giants can't block anybody.
And all I could think of was, my team's going to die. Micah Parsons is going to destroy my entire offensive team. And then I get annoyed, because I remember watching, I think it was America's game or whatever, and it was the third Joe Gibbs Super Bowl year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about, well, we had to do this to protect Rippon because you couldn't stop this guy. So we went to this formation and then, you know, two tight ends, and then we chipped the pass rusher with the running back. And I'm thinking to myself, it's almost like coaches don't even think that way anymore. It's just like, well, this is our game plan, and if they overwhelm our line 25 to 30 times over the course of the game, then, oh, well, looks like they got 9 sacks then. It's like, I don't understand that mentality.
Lawrence Taylor invented an offensive formation.
But it's just, it doesn't work. It does not work the way you're doing it. So change it. And change it in the middle of the game. Please feel free. Washington just got absolutely ragdolled by the Philadelphia defensive line. And I don't know why, but it's still early in the season. I was excited. I'm excited to watch football. Go to my brother's house, eat some crap we're not supposed to, and watch my team. And their uniforms are really awesome. And then it was just a crap fest right from the very beginning. It was exactly what the Eagles said it was going to be. We're going to come in and take over your stadium, and we're going to beat the hell out of Carson Wentz. That's exactly what they did.
And, you know, I was on board with you about the Eagles are a bit overrated all offseason, and my reasoning was because I purely just didn't have faith in Jalen Hurts. That was my sole credential to my statement. And I was convinced after 2 weeks. I said, you know what, actually, Jalen Hurts has clearly fixed something. He looks good. The Eagles are dominating. Have you come around yet, Dal, or are you still on the Eagles are vastly overrated band?
They're pretty damn good. Or they look pretty damn good against my team. That's all I can. I see them number one in the power rankings this week. I don't care about those things.
I feel like people feel obligated when they make power rankings to go, well, it has to be an undefeated team.
Not only that, it's they're trying to get clicks for that week. So I get it. But
Miami beat Buffalo.
Buffalo's still the best team.
I would still rank Buffalo ahead of Miami. Buffalo should have won the game yesterday. First of all, because they're better than Miami, like I just said. But even just in a game script manner, in that weird... Miami gets like two of these a year. Have you ever noticed that too? We all talk about bear weather in Chicago, about, oh, come to us when it's cold. And Miami occasionally gets these weird, haha, it's 110, and the other team shows up dead. And, you know, people don't talk about that enough. They kind of have a little home field advantage in Miami.
They talked about it a little bit this week, but yeah, you're exactly right.
But Josh Allen, who I praise every week on this show. He had 400 yards. But what was that throw on fourth and goal to Isaiah McKenzie?
I don't know.
Where he just dirted the ball.
Guess what?
That's the game-winning touchdown, Joshua.
People aren't perfect.
Josh is. Normally. He's on my fantasy team.
I just wanted the touchdown. It didn't matter. Didn't matter. I knew I was going to lose this last week.
I have him in all three leagues. Josh Allen is my quarterback in fantasy football.
Well, we should probably start into our... first off, before we get into the pick'em, is there anything sports-wise that we should be, you know, oddly covering other than football?
Disgusting.
That is confirmed. Sterling Shepard for the Giants, out for the year, torn ACL. Myles Garrett... looks like he's okay, but he rolled his car, so that's a scary moment, but it looks like he's okay. And then Hurricane Ian is causing some issues for Tampa-based teams.
I just acquired Mike Evans via trade, so if he could please play this week.
Well, it depends whether or not Bruce Arians needs him to go and hit somebody again. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So first on my list is Miami at Cincinnati. This is an intriguing game.
I hate that I'm doing this to myself, too, because this is one of those games where I want to root for all my own pick'ems so that I don't feel conflicted while the game is on, because now I'm down 3. I'm at 24, you're at 21. First place is now that So Sally Can Wait. My wife has dropped into second with 26. So Sally Can Wait is at 27. I'm at 24. So now I need some makeup points.
Well,
still early, but I need them.
I look at this matchup, and honestly, this is a really good, intriguing matchup. And this is the Thursday game.
How dare they waste this for Thursday night football?
And it's just...
where's my Jets Jaguars?
I guess I feel like Miami's due for a letdown game.
I hope so.
It's a road game against Cincinnati, who needs a win. And so I guess I'm leaning towards Cincinnati, but... I suck right now. I miss a lot of games, and so maybe that means Miami's going to win. Who are you picking?
I'm picking the Dolphins, which I kind of alluded to a second ago. I will be wearing a Joe Burrow jersey while I watch this game, and I have the Miami Dolphins picked. However, I am hoping for perhaps we'll get one of those. They should have lost the last 2 weeks, and they won. So everyone's going to overrate them now. So now they're finally favored and may be conceivably better. So this week the Bengals will remember that they're the defending AFC champions and will win this game or something.
I guess that's why I'm picking them. Logan Wilson, tote my flag. Logan Wilson and the Bengals is who I'm going with. He is going to knock Tua into next week. Oh, wait.
We can all hope.
They'll play him anyway.
Yeah. Did you hear that controversy, too? That apparently he was loopy and didn't know where he was, but was sent back into the game anyway?
Not only that, some of the analysts, there's a guy, he said, oh, this was today, by the way, Tuesday, and he said, oh, he didn't get a concussion, he just got knocked out for a minute.
That's impossible without getting a concussion.
That's what that is, you freaking moron. Anyway, I'm not really that surprised. I've always felt like the league is full of crap and it's a giant sausage grinder for players. even we, and one of the guys turning the grinder is the Players Association, who's supposed to be protecting these guys. But yeah, so there it is.
If we're just going to play guys while they clearly have a concussion anyway, can we just go back to the 70s rules so we could bring hitting back?
Yeah.
Like go all in one direction or the other.
If you're going to bring them, if you're going to bring them back in while they're loopy, can we bring back the blindside block where we actually go, everybody goes, hell yeah, that was awesome. Instead of, yeah, it's a penalty.
I am so glad that my, or at least high school, it actually was illegal when I was in college, which was unfortunate. But my favorite thing in the world when I was in high school was that was still legal.
Yeah.
We called it crackbacking.
We called it ear holing. Because the guy's head was almost always turned to the side.
And I played receiver.
And you de-cleated him.
And I was the outside receiver. And the only reason they kept me around was to run go balls, because I was tall. And they said, Aaron, you go run the fade. So I was always deep downfield anyway.
The only reason we keep him around, he reaches stuff on the top shelf.
Yeah. So whenever our quarterback would throw a little check down, if I turned my head and I saw, here comes the running back, and there's the linebacker following him, and that linebacker has no idea I'm coming back, I used to salivate a little bit. Like, I'd start drooling just a little bit. As I'd go, he's dead.
A little bit of drool come out of your helmet. All right, so we're differing on that, but I admit my powers are weak, old man. I'm going with the Bengals, but I'm not very convinced.
Yeah, I'm picking the Dolphins and not liking it. How about that one?
Well, at least we're both happy. Minnesota at New Orleans. Again, this is another one that I'm torn on this.
How dare they waste? First of all, even though the Saints kind of maybe don't totally suck, they've just lost two games. Whatever, it's week three, we don't know yet. But they are vastly disappointing over the last 2 weeks. Even with that, a part of my brain is still like, ooh, Saints-Vikings. Because the 09 championship game, the miracle, or the Minneapolis miracle, and then the Kyle Rudolph, who clearly pushed off in overtime for a touchdown, but we don't talk about that game. Just all these weird, kooky playoff things that all happened between them. And I just really like when the Saints and Vikings get together 90% of the time.
And I feel
and
like
they're wasting it on this England game that kicks off at 7:30 a.m. here.
Yeah.
I get to watch half of this and then go to church.
And not only that, it's, I feel like St. Louis, or sorry, New Orleans. Where did that come from? I really feel like
something French.
I really feel like New Orleans gets up really, they gear up for that Buccaneers game, which they did. And then there's a big letdown, which there was. So what is this? I feel like they feed off their crowd. Otherwise, they have not been very good, which is why I'm going to go with, I think we're going to get one of those, ooh, Kirk Cousins is good games, and it's going to be in London. So I'm going Vikings.
I, too, picked the Vikings purely because they just look better right now. Part of my brain wanted to do the cutesy thing and go, well, you know, in the regular season, the Saints have won four consecutive against the Vikings. The Saints always win the regular season, and the Vikings win in the playoffs. However, I've attempted that twice already this year, and both of my weird fun facts that I was hoping would save me, and then the better team just won.
There is something there's something about my team that I need to admit to you. You said this a month ago. And through 3 weeks, you have been absolutely correct. You said, so I have Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr.
They are the same person.
And you said, what's going to happen is you're going to vacillate between them the entire season. And you're going to go, oh, I'll start this guy, and then the other guy will have a good game. And then you'll flip to the other one, and then the other one, and it'll happen all season. Through 3 weeks, that's exactly what's happened.
That's just beautiful.
That's exactly what's happened. So this week, instead of alternating what I was thinking, I'm leaving Kirk Cousins in. I'm leaving him in. So I'm trying to flip-flop what's happening because you have put the voodoo hex on me.
The Raiders offense isn't theoretically bad.
They should have all kinds of good stuff.
They're just bad in the red zone.
I just don't know what their deal
is. But you kind of just lean Kirk Cousins because, like, they've got Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen and Dalvin Cook and Alexander Madison. And you're just just like, yeah. He could throw slants all game and have 400 yards occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally. Next one, Cleveland and Atlanta. I came into this season wanting to just hate Cleveland for what they've done and what they did, and I still think it's despicable. And then, but for some reason, I look at how they're geared. I love watching Chubb carry the ball, man.
Well, that's just because he's very good at it.
He's fun to watch.
I love watching Amari Cooper, a guy who I considered not even making my wide receiver three. I thought about letting Drake London be my wide receiver three. Amari Cooper's been my highest scoring receiver 2 weeks in a row with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback.
Yeah.
And you know what? We can crap on the ownership all we want, which we've done a lot on this show.
Yep.
There does come a certain point, though, where maybe your brain can separate. Okay, yeah, the ownership are a bunch of turds. But how about these players?
Yeah, the players are playing.
Jacoby Brissett. I mean, if it wasn't
like Jacoby Brissett.
If it wasn't for the leaning, you know, the smoldering volcano that you can kind of see in the background of your Hawaii pictures, what a story Jacoby Brissett would be this year if it wasn't for, you know,
yeah,
Mount Deshaun Watson making everyone sweat a little bit.
And his pile of questionable towels. Too much. Anyway,
I'm picking the Browns.
I am too.
How about the battle of the two greatest running backs in the NFL, and one of them's a wide receiver in that game? I'm talking, of course,
Cordarrelle
Patterson is on my fantasy team. He's got two 100-yard rushing games this year.
I like that guy. I like him a lot.
I miss him. I miss him in Chicago.
So I am at an all-time... Well, I'm at a real low for my Commanders because I have no more optimism. I have no more, you know, hope after what happened with Philly, what happened with the Lions. This game is in Dallas. I feel like the first quarter is just going to be like a coronation for the freaking Cowboys, the way the Washington's come out. I have no hope. Should I have any hope?
Well,
and they don't even have Dak Prescott. I should be geeked about this.
I must have far more hope than you, because despite the 85-15 current percentage for Pick'em, I went and 15% others. I picked Washington in this one. I think Carson Wentz tends to play pretty well against Dallas with his back against the wall. He's done it for years in Philly. He won the division a couple of times when Dallas came in fully healthy in a Week 16 and/or 17 game, and he was throwing to running back Boston Scott as his wide receiver one. That's not an exaggeration. That was actually listed on the depth chart. I think that might have been 20... Is that 18?
I don't know.
19.
I'm picking Dallas. Obviously, I always cheer for my team, but I'm picking Dallas because... of two
is
words.
This where I throw back at you your infamous week two words?
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's taken 2 weeks, and now I have no hope. So, but I'm picking him because of two words. Micah Parsons. He might have 5 sacks or 6 in this game. I don't know. I don't know how Washington, as they're currently set up, if they don't change something drastically from what they did against Philly, Micah Parsons is going to feast on Washington's revamped offensive line.
And we're talking about offensive lines here. We're not to them just yet. They are a noon game, but Yahoo doesn't have them listed next. But I feel like
skip around if you want.
The Bears fan thing, every time a quarterback is struggling, is blame the offensive line, because 99% of the time, that is accurate. I still say Jay Cutler got more crap than he deserved because we had the worst offensive line through his entire tenure in Chicago. Pro Football Focus disagrees. Currently, the Chicago Bears are the 11th ranked offensive line in football. We're number one as the running offensive line. So how about that? I believe we are something like middle of the pack. We were like 17th or something pass. But Justin Fields holds the ball longer than any quarterback in the NFL. He's 32nd in average time before release. So the offensive line is actually holding up in Chicago. And no one saw that coming. And Justin Fields is just taking 8 seconds to read a defense.
Yeah.
And that's been the problem.
So we're picking Chicago at New York next? Is that what we're doing?
I just wanted to get that out. We don't have to skip forward.
We can. I don't care.
Sure, we can go to that. Despite everything I just said about Justin Fields, I actually maintain that I thought that 52 out of 53 of the Bears players last week played extremely well. Actually, sorry, make that 51. I thought Kyler Gordon got burned constantly, but he's a rookie in his third NFL game. Also, we keep playing him as a slot corner when he's a lanky, tall, physical dude. Why?
Hey, you have to bring that up with the coaches.
Would you have put Richard Sherman in the slot and had him cover, like, Julian Edelman?
Probably not.
It's not really his strength, but whatever. Still, I was getting aggravated watching him get burned. Probably shouldn't be playing there, but it was aggravating. But I thought the rest of the Bears actually played a really good game.
I still think the Giants are frauds. They look better, but they still have no weapons other than Saquon. And
who does look like he's back.
He does. But now they don't even have Sterling Shepard, who was arguably their best receiver through 3 weeks. And now he's gone for the year. What are they going to do? Ride Saquon for 50 touches? It's just the way that team is comprised, it's hard to win. It's actually a freaking Christmas miracle they won the first 2 weeks. So I'm going Chicago, who I thought was going to struggle to win like three games all year.
I, too, am picking. By the way, did I not say in the preseason that this knowledge out in the world that the Bears were the, quote, worst team in the NFL was pure nonsense? Because I'm like, no, they're going to win like, I don't know, seven games or something.
Just enough.
Yeah, they're gonna get just enough to, you know, be picking 13th. and right now they're looking like, I don't know, a 7-win team or so.
Well, they look like a team that in this matchup is a pretty easy pick, so that's why I'm picking them.
The big thing here is New York will come into this game ranked dead last in yards per carry allowed. They are giving up over 5 yards per attempt defensively.
Well, that's the reason they lost Monday night.
Two handoffs, you get a first down against the Giants.
They gave up basically 200 yards to Pollard and Elliott.
Mm-hmm. And the Bears don't really want to have to throw the football right now. If you are going to come out and defensively play like that and say, actually, you know what, David Montgomery or Khalil Herbert, what a game he had in Houston.
Yeah.
Want to just keep getting the football, the Bears will happily say, okay, well, we'll just keep giving them the football then. That's what we want to do anyway.
Well, I think that might be what happens. So back to the schedule, Seattle at Detroit, the surprising yet unsurprising Detroit Lions.
How about the Detroit Lions? We're calling them this shocker team. Oh, they've come out and they've lit the world on fire. Because they're 1-2, but they've looked really good in their two losses.
They still find ways to lose.
Isn't that just...
So,
poor Dan Campbell.
that being said...
They're not going to lose this one, though.
Yeah, Seattle going to Detroit. I think the Lions win this one.
Seattle couldn't beat Atlanta in front of the 12th man. They're going to struggle in this one.
Yeah, they are.
Now, I love you, Geno Smith. You're having quite the little year.
I don't care about Geno Smith.
What a nice little year he's having, though, for a guy who's supposed to be the worst quarterback in the NFL.
Zach Wilson's still in the NFL, isn't he? He's the worst one.
Oh, poor Jets.
No.
As if we named two Jet quarterbacks in a row.
They make their own bed. Tennessee at Indianapolis. Every time I watch Tennessee, which is every week, because I have a brother who's a Titans fan, going back to their days of the Oilers, and so he's loyal. I'm always surprised and impressed by how they look coming out of the locker room. Their first drive the last 2 weeks, they move the ball right down the field. They look fantastic. They usually score. And then the rest of the game turns into a, can we score again? So I don't know what it is, but their initial game plan, the whole first 15 plays that used to be a thing, is awesome. But after that, I'm not so sure. Thoughts?
I just switched my pick while staring at it right now.
Okay.
I had picked these when I woke up this morning, I hopped out of the shower and I was waiting to kind of air dry a bit, and I just started making picks. I've changed my mind. I picked the Colts to win this division. I just remembered that.
You're an idiot. Well,
I'm coming back to it.
Sorry.
The Colts are winning this football game at home.
Yeah, I'm going Tennessee here, which is probably a death knell for Tennessee. I don't know.
Go on, Dal. Say that it's the most guaranteed victory you've ever seen.
No, it's
not. I will buy a ticket and head to that game right now just to curse Tennessee.
But I am going Tennessee. I think they have a better base. I think their defense is going to cause a couple of turnovers. And I think they're going to win that game. I think Jim Bob Irsay. Should have kept your mouth shut. You're a jerk. On the whole Carson Wentz, we need a different quarterback thing. You're a jerk.
And unfortunately, then, it feels like in a pseudo-landslide, everything rolls downhill way, like you were then forced to, as a Carson Wentz supporter, root against poor Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Who
I like.
No one should have to root against Matt Ryan. He's such a nice guy.
I like Matt Ryan, but I don't like the Colts right now.
Don't you hate when that happens?
Yeah.
It's like me with Kirk Cousins being a Viking. Like, oh, you were a Bears fan. I love you, Kirk Cousins. Please stop being a Viking.
Why couldn't you have just stayed with Washington? Jacksonville at Philly.
Jacksonville.
They look legit.
Two very good wins in a row.
And a loss that's not so bad. That was the first game against my team. Thankfully, we won that one. But Washington looked good in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I admit. So,
and yet, even despite Jacksonville's surge they've had, now granted, they were playing the Chargers JV team.
Yeah, with no Rashawn Slater.
No Rashawn Slater, no Keenan Allen, no Joey Bosa. And I don't know if Mac played.
And Herbert is about 50%.
You had one half of Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Despite that, though, this one's so easy for me. I'm going with the Philadelphia Eagles.
And
at
Philly's
home.
At home. So, this next one.
Remember when people were trying to talk about, though, as I just say, after just a rookie year, suddenly the questions were being asked. Wait a minute, is Trevor Lawrence a bust? Is any quarterback from this draft going to be any good?
Heck, I thought that in week one.
Like, Trevor Lawrence is a rookie. On one of the worst rosters in the NFL, Trevor Lawrence is a perfectly fine quarterback.
He's not a rookie anymore.
No, but after his rookie year, that's what everyone was saying. Like, okay. Oh, throw him away. Oh, my God. He's already ruined. Oh, my goodness, people.
And he had Urban Meyer as his coach.
The fact that a couple of rookies have dominated since, like, 2016 or something has ruined the way everyone thinks rookie quarterbacks are supposed to work. But anyhow, Trevor Lawrence looks good. He will lose against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Agreed. The Jets on the road at Pittsburgh. Is Cougar Tail playing this week? I'm going to call Zach Wilson Cougar Tail from now on, which is a double meaning because that is the name of the...
Because BU.
That's the name of the giant maple bar treat that they sell at BYU Stadium. And apparently he has a thing for cougars, and he is one. So, ha ha.
Ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha.
So is Cougar Tail playing this week? That's the big question.
They are speculating he will, though to be honest, Joe Flacco has looked fine. But when you have a rookie quarterback that you don't like, but the Jets organization is surely still interested in, you kind of feel like you have to play him if your backup
He's not a rookie.
Just played fine, right?
Like Zach is not a rookie.
Oh, yes, but you have this young quarterback who's got all the arm talent, so you want to see it.
Does he? I'm still not convinced he's anything special.
He throws ball far.
I don't know if he does or not. this says they are expecting him back in week four, and they're there's a picture of him looking like a jerk.
So we get Joe Flacco versus the Steelers?
No, you're going to get Zach Wilson versus the Steelers.
Oh, this is week four.
Yes.
I'm a bit tarded there.
So anyway, I hate Zach Wilson, and for that reason alone, I'm going Pittsburgh.
I, too, am picking the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't know why. I wish the Jets, and a lot of people disagree with me. Like, my dad hated these jerseys. My dad also really hates the Jets, which I've always found to be a waste of perfectly good hate. But it's probably more fun than hating all the teams I've wasted my years hating, because all the teams I hate all win all the time. It's got to be more fun hating the Jets. Like, good.
Another satisfying.
Like a smooth Coke down the windpipe. I wish they'd go back to those old school white helmet, Jet logo on the helmet.
With like the oval?
Yeah.
See,
I think of two things with that. First of all, I think Joe Namath, and then I get a little sick. But then I think about the Rex Ryan Jets, and then I get a little,
See, I actually like these 80s version ones that were considered new, and then they mothballed them, and then they brought them back.
They're going to just keep doing that until the end of time.
Yeah, I kind of like them better. They remind me of the Rich Kotite era.
See, and this is going to sound so weird, that we both have nostalgia for the jerseys, even though the jersey I have nostalgia for is older.
Yeah.
But my nostalgia for it comes from a more recent... It's so weird.
It is weird.
I loved the Rex Ryan Jets. I loved Rex Ryan.
No, I don't like Rex Ryan.
I love Rex Ryan. Mostly because I really hated New England at the time. But Rex Ryan, A, he's Buddy Ryan's son. Love you, Buddy Ryan, even though you hate Mike Ditka. Stop hating Mike Ditka. Well, I guess you're dead now. But while you were alive, stop hating Mike Ditka. Mike Ditka's cool. Anyhow, and Rex Ryan used to say such fun... He was such the anti-Belichick in that division.
Yeah, kind of gave everything.
Flipping the bird over to the Miami Dolphins sideline after...
I knew way too many personal things about him.
Oh, yeah, those don't... But as just a... This is... I'll say it from this standpoint. If you ignore Rex Ryan the person and just say, I'm just going to watch 3 hours of this person on my TV for entertainment. He was entertaining to me.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked. I'm not here to kiss Belichick's rings. Great quote. His existence forced Tom Brady to show some semblance of human emotion during a press conference with his I Hate the Jets post-game presser. That was a good era. I liked that. I want it back because Jets versus Steelers back then was super fun to watch because they used to just hit the crap out of each other.
So
this time it's just going to be Pittsburgh slapping them around for a bit.
Yeah, I agree. Now, my biggest complaint of the week is this next game. How on earth is this the Sunday morning game? Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, they're both...
Now, it's not like the Sunday and Monday night games are like... Not prime time.
No, they're fine, but they're not this.
These are the top two quarterbacks in the NFL at this moment.
They're certainly probably the two most exciting quarterbacks.
I'm going in the based NFL. On touchdown production.
This game shouldn't be an early game. It should be the build up all night. Carrie Underwood sings the anthem game. It should be that. It should be that game.
Now, granted, the NFL made this schedule in May. We didn't know that the Ravens were going to bounce back as well
as they
have.
Yes, they did. You knew damn well that Lamar Jackson was not going to...
We're not skipping to these games yet, but may I just defend the things that did get put in Sunday and Monday night are still Mahomes versus Brady, a Super Bowl rematch,
okay,
and last year's NFC Championship game.
Which is going to be a crap fest.
Those two play each other. Actually, not well. I'll get to my thoughts on that when we get to it. But anyhow, I at least see what you're saying, though. If we could redo it, I'd put this at Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
But for now, I'll at least give the NFL the credit that you seem to not be and just go, well, those other two, like, I can see why.
They make too dang much money to not get this kind of stuff right. Roger Goodell, who has nothing to do with this, but he makes $64 million a year just because you and I like football.
That's almost as much as we make.
Yeah.
If
that was the trade-off and I got booed everywhere I went, I'm like, boo away. No wonder it never bothers him. He probably thinks of every boo as being a dollar.
You know what's amazing too is we both do hate Roger Goodell so much, and you just talked about he makes so much money because we like football, and it's not going to change anything. Like, we're like, oh, that's stupid Roger Goodell. You know what? If I were to protest football, that might change something about Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
But I won't.
It's like these people that say they're boycotting the NFL, and they still say it, like Colin Kaepernick is modern. It's like, well, clearly you don't watch football at all.
I like to respond to that with that I also boycott the NFL because I can't forgive O.J. Simpson.
Well, not only that, but they're using Kaepernick. It's like he hasn't been in the league for 6 years. No one's kneeling. It's like you obviously don't watch football
anyway. Consider
the
fact that 2015 or in 2016 he was just abysmal. Well, you could almost say 7 years.
But I'm just saying, but they don't. These people don't watch football anyway. They just want you to know that they're boycotting.
I was about to say some of them, I will say, did watch football. You know, some of the
like one a year.
I'll just come out and say it. Some of the older people that straight up gave up football because politics is too important to them.
Yeah.
But
go buy some gourd at the grocery store. Go take one of your rifles or your handguns. Blow the crap out of it. You'll feel better.
It go boom.
Bang. Buffalo.
I'm also taking Buffalo, by the way.
I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be incredibly entertaining.
I need a shootout.
But I don't think the Bills drop two in a row. No way.
I actually got an intriguing offer, too, in one of my other leagues. Someone offered me a 9th-round pick, 15 rounds, of course, for the Buffalo defense. The only reason I said no was I'm like, that's probably higher than you'd take a defense. But my team this year is good. What do I think I'm going to get in the 9th round next year that's going to win me the fantasy championship?
They're missing too many pieces right now, which is what hurt them in Miami.
I think the Heat hurt him in Miami. And
so, and so was that.
And Josh Allen, who played a near-perfect game for 99% of the game, it feels wrong of me to say this, but the 1% of the game where he played imperfect happened to be a 4th and goal.
At least that game did get us the butt punt.
That was glorious.
Thankfully, there is that.
Florida man takes it up the butt on live TV.
News at 11.
Yes.
Chargers at Houston. Man, part of me wants to pick the Texans in this.
Listen to it, Dal. Listen to that part and do it.
Yeah, but you want me to lose.
That's, of course, true, but that doesn't mean I'm not out here looking out for my good pal, Dal.
Keenan Allen is out. At least he was last night when I was trying to set some rosters.
But did you see what Houston... First of all, Houston in week 1 let Jonathan Taylor destroy them. And we all said, well, it's Jonathan Taylor. Then in week 2, Houston let... who'd Houston play in week 2?
I don't know.
It was Barkley and the Giants, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they let Barkley destroy them. And we all thought, okay, fine, but that's still Barkley. And then this week, David Montgomery didn't finish the game, and they let Khalil Herbert destroy them. I have Austin Eckler on my fantasy team. I also have a complaint here. Why do the Chargers love this 3 running back rotation thing so much? Sony Michel is not good at football. Josh Kelly is fine. He's not Austin Eckler. Just make Austin Eckler your feature back. Hand him the football, you turds.
That's Cam Akers, too. Or no, that's the Rams. Sorry.
I hate you. Give Austin Eckler the ball like you did. Last year, he led the league in touchdowns.
FYI, just a little note, since I always bring up Wyoming references. Eckler's younger brother plays defensive back for the Wyoming Cowboys.
That is neat.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to take the Chargers.
I am too. You talked me into it. Arizona at Carolina. I do not like Arizona. And I do not believe in Carolina. I'm going Cardinals.
And you know what's upsetting too? Is we all felt like Baker Mayfield played his heart out in that week 1 game. And we all said, what a valiant effort. Mayfield almost did it. He almost got his revenge against the much more talented overall roster of the Browns by himself. And he's played so poorly in the last 2 weeks. He now ranks dead last in the entire NFL in quarterback rating.
Wow.
Last. That includes the backups that have come in and played one play.
That's not good.
What happened after week one, Baker?
I don't know.
You've arguably played worse teams since then. You played the Giants, and... So Houston couldn't have played the Giants week two. Who did Houston play week two?
We just did this.
That's going to bug me. But they gave up a chunk of rushing. It doesn't matter. Anyhow, I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals.
As am I. Next game, I am not going to discount. Oh. I'm not going to discount Green Bay anymore. They are at home. It doesn't matter who the receivers are. We have no idea. Well, Brian Hoyer is going to be the quarterback for the Patriots.
I'm going to continue to discount the Green Bay Packers because they didn't even look good this week.
Then go ahead and pick against them.
Not in this one.
Well, then shut up.
Because the stupid Packers are going to be 3-1, and they should be 1-3 if they were playing a healthy Patriots team and a healthy Buccaneers team. But they're the luckiest franchise in the history of sport. No one catches more pure breaks than the Green Bay Packers and has no reason to have any of the accolades they have. They get by on skid mark luck at this point. God, I hate the Packers. And they're going to win, and it's going to be stupid, and people are going to go, they're 3-1. The Pack is back. Aaron Rodgers is leading this team of misfits. And they're going to look terrible, and no one's going to care because they're 3-1, and they've beaten a Mac Jones-less Patriots team and a literally wide receiver-less Buccaneers team. Tom Brady was throwing to a couple of fans that won a raffle before the game and completing touchdown passes to nearly win the game at the end. The Packers still almost let Tom Brady them.
Whew. Boy, you're fired up about this, don't you?
Oh, I hate the Packers so much. I cannot wait until they have to play a real team in the playoffs.
And yet you're picking?
Doesn't matter. The home team.
Say it.
The home team is winning this football game.
Home team is the Packers.
God, I hate the Packers.
Apparently not bad enough to not pick them.
No. I'm going to go back to I cannot wait until the playoffs. The Packers play a real team. And maybe it's the 49ers again, and I can just keep laughing. But when they have to play Tampa or San Francisco or the Eagles or someone like that in the playoffs and they lose by 24 and I get to giggle like a little schoolgirl, it'll be my Christmas.
Well, we'll tuck this away and see if that happens. Surprising teams here. First off, I don't really like Denver. We've talked about this in the past. And everybody's just assumed Denver was going to be good offensively because they went and got Russell Wilson. That has not been the case.
No. They're kind of going 2015 Broncos with this thing.
Yeah, and then everyone assumed Las Vegas would be better because, hey, McDaniels, second time round. They go get Devontae Adams.
I warned against McDaniel.
They go get Devontae Adams, and they're 0-3. That's pretty shocking.
They're going to be 0-4.
This team is not built to be 0-3.
Josh McDaniel is not good at the head coaching. Devontae Adams is good at the wide receiver, though, and they refuse to throw him the football.
Well, in week one they did.
Yes, and it worked. He had 141 yards, and you almost beat the Chargers.
So, I don't know. I feel like Denver...
Mac Hollins should not lead the Raiders in targets.
I feel like Denver has been so lucky the last 2 weeks.
They're going to get lucky again.
I think the luck's going to run out in Vegas. I'm going Raiders in this.
The Raiders just find creative ways to lose.
There's no way they go 0-4. No way. Karma will not allow
every time
it
I see,
home.
Every time I see Denver, though, I still think of my buddy that roots for the Chargers as his side hustle. That said, I can't believe this Broncos team that is unwatchable is ahead of my Chargers in the standings. And then followed it with, I just threw up blood.
I just threw acid in my eyes. This one's fun. You talked about it before.
Did you see the little promo for this game, too? It's got a little catchy jingle to it.
Which one?
That was airing on NBC all week. where they're... you might hate me because you're more of a musical buff than I am. I don't really pay attention to, like, very popular songs all that often.
Well, I don't listen to anything modern.
This didn't sound modern, but the song basically went, "Hey there, old man," and it was singing about, "I am what you used to be," I think. I don't remember all the lyrics it said, but what if it was showing Mahomes and Brady back and forth, and the song bopped. I loved the song. The promo was great. I almost made a joke to you. This wasn't on the show, but when I mentioned that, I think it was after Sports Friday, the way I found running up that hill was from a wrestling promo. I almost made the joke, this is what real sports are missing. It's the only reason wrestling still is as popular as it is, because we need more dramatic soap opera pregame promos to go on. I feel like we only get them for like the Super Bowl. I said, that came close. They went, let's go wrestling promo with this. It's Mahomes and Brady, and they're going to compete in a ladder match.
So,
and it's going to be great.
Tampa Bay supposedly getting Evans back.
Evans is back.
Do they have Godwin back?
Julio and Godwin are up in the air.
Julio has a partially torn something, I read.
Mm.
So he may play, but he's not going to be 100%. Not that he was anyway. They did pick up Cole Beasley, who didn't really do that much.
And at this stage in his career and on the team that the Buccaneers are, you don't necessarily need Julio to be 100%. You need Julio for like two plays a game where you're like, hey, Julio, well, it's 3rd and 18. Can you just jump higher than that guy one time?
And I still feel like one of the best elements of the Buccaneers is their defense.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I feel like they're due to get torched. Who you got in this?
I'm taking Tampa. Tom Brady, and I know the Buccaneers lost last week. However, they A, shouldn't have, and B, are fixing the problem that they had last week in that they now have at least one of their receivers back. But to Tom Brady, historically, when he gets into these featured profile matchups against, you know, whenever a game is billed as, uh-oh, it's Brady versus blank, the matchup of the stud quarterbacks. Doesn't it feel like Brady almost always wins?
Yeah.
Like every time. So I'm taking the Buccaneers. I think they have a better roster, too.
You changed my mind. I'm going with the Bucs.
I think at this point in their career, Mahomes is probably the better quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Brady has, and not nearly as bad, he's looked like he's gotten a bit of the late in his career Manning rust on him for the first 3 weeks. He still looks fine, though. And the rest of the Buccaneers slap the rest of the Chiefs around like crazy. That team is so stacked. So I'm going Tampa. And then I earlier said I wouldn't do this again because I've been burned twice, and yet here I am once again throwing a Hail Mary and Pick'em with my, well, actually, nerd stat. But I'm going to take the 49ers to beat the Rams at home because in the Kyle Shanahan versus Sean McVay head-to-head era, Kyle Shanahan has, for whatever reason, owned Sean McVay head-to-head. Now, maybe the NFC Championship game, when McVay finally got a win, maybe that's that thing where, like, once you break the seal, everything can flow out. I'm going to pretend like it doesn't for now and say that Shanahan still has McVay's number for whatever reason.
I guess I feel like the Rams...
The Rams are a way better team.
I feel like Stafford's going to have a big game. And I'm going Rams with this one.
What always seems to happen when these two teams play is that the 49ers come out, A, George Kittle dominates the Rams. We're not sure why. And B, they almost always rush for 200 yards against the Rams. And the Rams have a good run defense. So someone has to explain that to me one day. But Kyle Shanahan, I'll just take him because of the Shanahan versus McVay thing. I'll ignore the talent level of the two rosters and just go for Shanahan beats McVay when they play head-to-head most times. It's literally the only reason I got.
All right. I've saved my picks.
Lovely stuff. So, we'll see if we can't catch up to So Sally Can Wait this week. And, I don't know that there is anything else going. We already kind of...
I feel like you haven't mocked me enough for winning in fantasy this week.
Oh,
Maybe it's because we saw it coming. I don't know. It really wasn't close.
You see, Dal, when you're as truly dominant as I am, you don't lower yourself to the taunting
That's
of your
all you
lesser
do.
Competition.
That's all I've seen you do.
I did at least make maybe I'll even make that the thumbnail for the video and podcast this week, was that picture I sent you last night.
It's your face superimposed on the undefeated team.
It's my dad and I with the Adam Scheffler tweet about now there are only two. It's the 2-3-0 teams remaining. And I joked with a couple members of the league as well that my dad and I have already played in 3 championship games against each other head to head. I am 1-2 against him, by the way. But anyway, I said, isn't everyone super excited for this fun, refreshing, and brand new matchup of me versus my dad in the championship game? There's a lot of season left to be played, but I got the number of boos I was hoping for. And that's really all the goal was there. I like to make sure that I am the villain of every fantasy league I play in. It is my sole goal. Though Josh Johnson is doing quite the job since he's joined this league of trying to take that from me.
But yes.
No championships means that you automatically get a little bit less hate. So that's helping me for now. But once he wins, I'm positive he's going to become the most unbearable person ever. And I'm just going to have to tap out. Like, I can't compete with that. I'm sorry.
Just unplug and move out of state.
There's nothing left I can do. There's nothing more villainous I could possibly muster up. Well, anyhow.
All done, I guess.
Yep. There's the pick'ems once again for this week. What little news there was from across the league. Most of the injury news, even, is like, well, we don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't know.
Only Sterling Shepard is a known quantity. Like, yeah, he's done. Everyone else is, they might play this week, they might never play again, who knows. Dalvin Cook's shoulder came out of place, and he's apparently probable. What a guy. So, I've been Aaron, this has been Dal right here for the Unsportsmanlike Conduct podcast. I got podcast in that time. You can catch us every Wednesday on YouTube, on Spotify, and on svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.